Hey everyone, hope you all are doing great. I'm back. I keep trying to record an episode and I just don't have a ton to say. I feel like I've already spilled my guts in the first four episodes and kind of put everything out there, and I'm not sure what else I want to add. I have a couple of interviews lined up. I have one with my cousin tomorrow, and then one with another friend on Friday, and then some other people waiting in the wings. So that should be fun, and I'm really excited about that component of the podcast. Other than that, what can I say? Well, so first of all, I had a really good weekend. I spoke with a lot of friends, caught up with a bunch of people, and had two Zooms with the women from Reclamation, and I also went to two different talks relating to illness, which were both really interesting. One was this woman, Suleika Jaoud, I hope I'm pronouncing her name correctly. She wrote a column, I guess, for the New York Times called Life Interrupted, where she talked about getting leukemia. She, at the time, I think she got it when she was maybe like 22 or something like that. And she just wrote about what it was like to be a young woman whose life was interrupted by this illness. And she was interviewed along with her partner, John Batiste, who is a musician. And they were interviewed by Esther Perel, who is this very well-known therapist who's written several books and given TED Talks. And she has the podcast, Where Do We Begin? So anyways, it was a really moving conversation about living life with illness and how you connect with people despite your illness, or how you kind of live in the world of the ill or the world of the healthy, and kind of the line between those two worlds. So very relevant to some of the things that I've been thinking about and talking about on the podcast. And then another talk, both of these were virtual, with Whitney Defoe's parents, Ron Davis and Janet Defoe, and Tracy White, I believe, who wrote the book, The Puzzle Solver, which is all about Ron Davis's quest to find a cure for ME/CFS after his son Whitney Defoe gets sick with it. Which was also really an interesting talk. By the way, going back to the first talk, Esther Perel is incredible. The way that she's able to frame her questions and to frame the way, like when Suleika and John were talking about their relationship, and the way she was able to like ask them questions or articulate what worked or what didn't work in their relationship, was really beautiful. I've listened to her podcast as well. She's just like so good. I don't even know how to describe. But yeah, so it was interesting. There was this quote that she quoted, during that interview that was, from a famous psychologist who had something Frankel. Let me look this up. Viktor Frankl, who was a Holocaust survivor whose entire family had died in the Holocaust. His parents, I believe his wife, his brother. I don't remember if he had children. He was basically saying two things, I think. One was, how do you, the way that you deal with suffering is to make meaning out of that suffering. And then the other quote, and his whole, I think his whole psychological kind of theory is all about that what matters to us isn't happiness, but it's meaning, but rather meaning. Which I don't know, that's something to think about. Maybe that could be a conversation with a guest at some point. So I don't know about that, but he also was saying that there's freedom in the moment between the stimulus, anything external that comes at us, and how we respond to the stimulus. And in between those things is the freedom that we have as human beings to change our reaction or to react differently to things. And that just feels like very relevant. And then I read the exact same quote that same day in the book, I think you should, wait, sorry, I just forgot the name of the book. Maybe You Should Talk to Someone, the book that I keep talking about that's so awesome. Let me actually find the exact quote. Between stimulus and response, there is a space. In that space is our power to choose our response. In our response lies our growth and our freedom. And one of the reasons that is feels so meaningful is that's kind of where I'm at as I'm thinking about my own illness journey. And recently I've been realizing, like, as I've been dealing with these other things in therapy that are unrelated to my illness, like, you know, the idea that I'm like trying to control my life too tightly and just like really fearful about like letting anyone in or like messing up the orderliness of my life. And like some of my issues with relationships and friendships and how to kind of stick through those instead of kind of, I don't know, just not, I guess. So those, anyways, as you guys know, those are the kinds of things that we've been working on. And as I've kind of worked through some of those issues, I feel like other emotions and deeper issues are kind of coming to the surface. And one of those issues, which I hadn't really talked about with my therapist, is just how kind of underlying, and I don't remember if I've talked about this on the podcast, but basically how underlying all of my, just anything, like happy moments, sad moments, whatever, like there's always this feeling of like, wow, I'm in this kind of like weird version of reality, or almost like this nightmarish version of reality with this illness that separates me from everyone else, and also is just like it weighs on me, this fact that I have to carry this illness with me. And that idea of the stimulus and the response, it's like I can't change being ill, but I can change that response and not have to bear the weight of that heaviness. And I'm really excited by the possibility that I could change that response. So I'm going to bring that up at my therapy appointment on Friday and see how I could maybe go about trying to change that response. I do think one of the benefits of doing the therapy is that the emotions are kind of like, I feel like I usually don't have a lot of emotional response. Like I'll be like happy when something happy happens, but I'm not on a deeper level. I don't have a like deep joy or like deep sadness. And one of the things that I've wanted, that I kind of want for my life, is to feel things more deeply and to experience life more viscerally and more vividly and in kind of like a more saturated way. And recently I was noticing that, so I've been napping a lot for some reason, more than usual. I don't know, it was probably like something to do with my medications. But I've been noticing recently that I feel like really sad about the fact that I have to nap. And I had never really felt like that before, like really just sad about what I have to give up for the illness and the fact that I want to continue my day and do other things, but just like a couple hours into the day, I have to lie back down again and rest. And it just felt, I was glad that I was feeling sadness, because I think it also corresponds to some of the additional joy that I've been feeling in connecting with other people. And they kind of go hand in hand when your emotions are a little bit closer to the surface, as you feel more sadness, but you can also feel more joy. So that's been a good thing. Sorry, I was just thinking. I was just thinking about what the next thing was that I was going to talk about. So a couple things about the conversations I've been having with friends. So as I was telling you guys, I've been having this like clothes a palooza where I've been like buying like a ton of clothes and like returning them, like really building up my wardrobe, not returning all of them, obviously, then like returning the ones I don't want, buying more, returning more, keeping some things and like gradually building up a wardrobe, which has been really fun. And like I think I said, I'm usually really bad at buying clothes and like making sure I have enough stuff to wear and just kind of taking care of my appearance in that way. Or like I just never really pay attention to it, or I don't pay enough attention to it. So yeah, I'll like wear the same thing and like wear like the same dress to like every wedding or like things like that. So that has been really fun, but I have another palooza that's been happening. I'm calling it Zoomapalooza. For the past couple of weeks, I've just like usually I have like maybe one friend Zoom a week, or maybe even like some weeks, maybe even like one every 2 weeks on average. I don't know, maybe one to two, one zero to two a week. I don't know. Yeah, that sounds right. But recently, I've been having a lot of conversations, like much more than usual, and it's been really nice to just constantly have that social aspect in a way that I wasn't really having before. And I don't know exactly why it all came up at once. I mean, obviously, first of all, there's the reclamation group where we're like all checking in on a daily basis, like in the mornings and the evenings, about how our day went and, what we've been up to, what we've been thinking about. So having that in my life has been really lovely. And that definitely adds like a feeling of connection and gives that like social, like feeds that social need that I have. And I had two, I think I mentioned at the beginning of this episode, I had two of those Zooms with the reclamation ladies this weekend, which was really fun. But in addition to that, I'm just looking at my calendar. Yeah, I had, okay, I guess I don't need to list out all the Zooms I had. One, two, three, four, five, six, whatever. I'm just counting over the past week. Anyway, I've had a good number of Zooms over the past few weeks, and phone conversations with friends. And it's just been really nice. Okay, I just already said that. I guess that's not that exciting. But a couple of things that have come up in some of the more recent conversations. First of all, a lot of my friends are listening to the podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening. And a lot of people had a lot of comments and things to say. And it sparked a lot of interesting conversations. One of my friends was saying, like, when I talked about being disconnected from the world in some ways as a result of illness, he was talking about somebody he knew who was a brain surgeon who then got a brain tumor and basically like lost all his ability to think eventually, to speak, etc. And how his mom was like really sad that no one was visiting him, or like people weren't really visiting him that much in the hospital when he was ill. And we were talking about how, like, yeah, on the one hand, that sucks. And then on the other hand, like, people have their own lives, you know? And one thing is that I think that I said is I think, like, in the modern world, we live, and this is not like my my idea, obviously, like tons of books have been written about this, and I think there's some consensus about this, that we live in a much more isolated way than people of earlier generations. And there's not as much community because, like, especially among this kind of like certain kind of socioeconomic class, I guess, of people who go to top schools and then they move for work to certain cities and then their jobs take up a ton of their time. So you don't have the same kind of communal living experiences that I think people in earlier generations or people in other countries did. And you also, people are able to be much more self-sufficient. You don't need to get through kind of your life in a more, in just a very like practical way. You don't need the help of other people the way that you would have, I think, in other countries that are less prosperous, even in the Soviet Union. You know, like you need other people to get by. You help them get this, they help you get that. You take care of each other. And again, in a way that's not really necessary today. And that leads to kind of this isolation where you kind of are really focused in on your immediate family. And you have friends and you have your extended family, but if everyone's not all together and kind of in it together in the same way that they have been in other contexts or in other countries. And that as like a potential cause of anxiety, just outside of now not talking about people with chronic illness, but just people outside. Source of leads to anxiety for people because in the era that humans formed most of their behaviors, when we were hunter-gatherers, obviously then people lived in tribes and you were kind of constantly surrounded by people, and that was part of the flow of life. And then, you know, it makes me think of those studies that have been done about those blue zones. I don't know if you guys remember the New York Times had an article about them. There was like a spate of articles like maybe 4 or 5 years ago about these blue zones, these places in the world where people live like significantly longer than they do in other places, even places with a similar climate, similar diet, similar air quality. Like all these factors were controlled for, but then people in these blue zones lived really long. And the main factor was this social connection and the way they all kind of lived in this communal way. So yeah, I think it's something, it's really hard because independence feels really good too, and being able to do your own thing and not having to adapt yourself to a community that might be narrow-minded, that all feels good too. So I don't know, it's hard to think how, even if we wanted to, we could go back to that communal way of living. So anyways, that was like a big detour, but just like a thought I had about the idea of how we're all a little bit isolated, again, regardless of chronic illness. But generally speaking, it was just really nice to hear friends' reactions to the podcast. Another friend was saying that I was not accurately answering questions on the Enneagram test and that I, in fact, do care about other people and am in other ways not the way I described, in their opinion, which is nice to hear. So maybe I'm not a selfish asshole. I don't know. Or we're just different ways with different people. One other thing that I was thinking about as I was having all these Zooms with friends and phone conversations with friends is the ways in which, even as somebody who is really social, I still have, like, I never realized this before, but I definitely have like some amount of social anxiety. And by that, I'm mostly talking about like if there's a silence in the conversation, I feel like I have to fill it. If there's like a potentially awkward moment, I feel like I need to fix it. If I'm like always worried, do they want to get off the phone right now? Like, should I cut the conversation short? Like, what does the other person need or want in this conversation? Do I need to like affirm them and make sure that like they know that I like think highly of them? Whatever. There's just like some, not like a high level of anxiety, but there's like some underlying anxiety even when talking with people who are close friends. So I was kind of practicing in these conversations, like not giving into that as much. And it's also part of what this, what we're doing in this reclamation group in terms of like being your authentic self. So, and it ties in with the whole therapy and like giving up control. So I would try to like, if there was like a pause, I would not fill the silence. I would wait for the other person to say something. Or if there was like something, I would just kind of be bringing my best self to the conversation very consciously and kind of leaning into some of the fears and anxieties that I might have around like whether the other person feels comfortable, I guess. And I wasn't doing like sometimes I think because I'm a little anxious, I'll like play a game on my phone while I'm talking to someone to kind of ease my anxiety. And so I made sure not to do that. And I think it did give space for some deeper conversation and deeper connection, even with people who I already feel deeply connected with. So that was really nice. Okay, I'm going to pause for a minute and think about what else is on the agenda for this episode. But before I do that, actually, one other thing. Okay, no, I already said that. Sorry, I already said that. Well, I was going to say about my cousin coming on tomorrow and my friend coming on the podcast on Friday. But then I realized I already said it and I'm probably not going to edit this out because I just don't have the energy to like go back and edit. So just raw, unedited material here. You guys are getting everything uncut. Yeah. Okay. I'll be back. I think that might be pretty much everything for today. A couple of just last minute wrap up things. So as I said, tomorrow I am recording an episode with my cousin, Olga. So hopefully I will post that episode, tomorrow as well. She is a doctor, and she is also the mom to two very cute, twin girls. And so, yeah, we've talked a little bit about different topics we might discuss, anything from our experiences growing up as Russian immigrants in the U.S. I think we had very different ways of, or we experienced that very differently, to her experience in residency, while also being a mom, to what the research is showing that she's really interested in the research about ways to speak and be with your children from a young age such that they grow up to become resilient and strong and happy, well-adjusted adults. So I'm really interested to hear more about that as well. Unclear exactly what we're going to discuss, but those are some of the possible topics. You will not want to miss it. And then on Friday, I will be recording with another friend who's also dealing with chronic illness. So we will be talking about that. Hopefully that will be uploaded on Friday. Yeah, and then the only other thing is I've had a lot of really good conversations with people about things that I've talked about on my podcast. I've gotten really good responses from the people who are listening, both friends and then a couple of other people who have messaged me just about their experience listening and what their thoughts were. And for me, the podcast is really about human connection and using it as a way to deepen my connections with other people and just like maybe sharing something that might make somebody, that might resonate with somebody or make them feel less alone in their experience, whether it's chronic illness or being single at 30 and 30 something single person or really anything else that, that people might resonate with. So yeah, what I wanted to say is if you know me, obviously you know how to contact me. If you don't know me, feel free to send me a message on Facebook or on Instagram with your thoughts, any ideas you have of who you'd like to see featured on the podcast, what kinds of topics you'd like to hear more about, whether it's more chronic illness stuff or just more stuff about like my life generally, journaling type, like a audio journal type stuff that I've been doing, or about my experiences with therapy, and really anything. I could try to do more like research-based segments about chronic illness and try to share more concrete information there. Somebody was suggesting that. So yeah, let me know what you'd like to hear. You can contact me. My name is Dina Gazofsky. You all probably already know that because the link to the podcast includes my last name. I wasn't necessarily planning on that, but oh well. And also because I think the only place that I've advertised the podcast has been on Facebook and Instagram. So obviously, if you saw that post, you know my last name. So yeah, my last name is spelled Guzovsky, and my first name is Dina, Dina. So since there's no real way for you guys to leave comments on the app itself, or rather like on Spotify or on Anchor, it doesn't look like there's a good way for comments. Yeah, just feel free to message me and let me know your thoughts on any of the content or, yeah, what you guys would like to hear. Anything that resonates with you, or if you know someone who would be a good guest, or if you want to be a guest, let me know. Okay, talk to you soon. Bye.